if no matter what, it's challenging, and if no matter what, we're going to feel this guilt, why don't we, one, support each other, but two, try to find ways to combat the guilt while we're in the season we're in.
You're listening to the Grow Yourself, Grow Your Marriage podcast. Chris and Jonna are parents of three, life and business partners who share their personal development techniques so you can grow yourself and grow your marriage.
You're listening to the Grow Yourself, Grow Your Marriage podcast. This is episode number 22. Now, if that sounded weird to you, that's because that's usually Chris's line, but I'm riding solo today. Chris is busy, and you know what? We've got kids, and so recording, we can only do this so often. So just me today. If you listen because of Chris, I apologize. It's just Jonna. So you know what? Chris wouldn't really be that much help with today's episode anyways, because I'm going to talk about mom guilt. And if you're not a mom listening to this, then you know, maybe, I mean, I guess you can turn it off because you probably aren't going to resonate very much. But if you have a mom in your life, maybe you want to understand some of the things that goes through our mother minds every now and then. So not only am I going to talk about different forms of mom guilt and maybe share some personal stories of my own, but I want to help you get rid of mom guilt. And it feels like that's kind of funny to say because I literally struggle daily with the feelings of, am I doing enough for my kids? Am I a good enough mom? Should I have played more today? Am I teaching them the right things? Did they eat enough vegetables? Am I raising them to be kind human beings? You know, why are they fighting with each other? Do I fight? What kind of example am I setting? All these things run through my head on the daily, especially when I lay down at night, when I actually am ready and need the rest. That's when the guilt and the negative voice in my head starts going. And I'm sure you can probably relate if you are a mother and have been for any time at all, because I know I'm not the only one. I'm in a lot of moms groups on Facebook, and it just seems like something we all battle constantly. But when I think about it, it's like, does it really serve us in any positive way at all? I don't think so. I think that there's a difference in guilt and conviction. Meaning if I do something wrong to my kids, you know, I'm not always in the right, obviously. This is my first time doing this. I'm learning as I go. So whenever I discipline my girls and it's in a way that maybe didn't match the offense, or whenever I yell at them, I always said I didn't want to be a mom that yelled. But if you're a mom, you know that sometimes you just lose your stinking mind and you're going to yell. But it doesn't mean it feels good. And I don't know that it means it's right. So there's a healthy amount of conviction when you do things, I believe, that you could have done better as a parent. And so I think that it's good to learn from those mistakes. But the guilt that we place on ourselves for not being able to juggle all the balls and keep them all in the air when we have a job that is literally a 24/7 job with no benefits, no pay, no break, no anything. I mean, I feel like I hear a critic in the background like, oh, no benefits? Like, you got beautiful children. Aren't you lucky? Aren't you blessed? Of course. Of course, the benefits are that you've got wonderful children when you're a parent. But I mean, you know, actual tangible benefits. Our job is very underappreciated compared to any other job out there. So that's what I mean by that. So, you know, beating ourselves up for that is what I equate the guilt side to. And so that's what I'm talking about. We need to get rid of the guilt cycle of just shaming ourselves and beating ourselves up, because at the end of the day, it's not helping us grow as moms. It's not beneficial for our minds or for our children to feel like all we do is beat ourselves up. So different kinds of mom guilt I feel like I've seen, especially as of lately, and just that I experienced my own life, are you always see the working mom versus stay-at-home mom debate in certain Facebook groups or certain social media channels, which I hate. I freaking hate that debate, because period, being a mom is the hardest job I have ever had. And I think most of us would agree that any of us have ever had. So to try to compare the two, who's got it harder, I really am just on team, it's just hard to be a mom. So I just had to clear that out of the air. That's something that really bothers me when I see moms who know how hard it is to be a mom arguing with each other over who has it the hardest. We all have it hard in some fashion or another. And it's interesting because, like I said, I'm in a bunch of Facebook groups and then I run a little moms group on Facebook. And I pose this question because I'm like, we all experience mom guilt to a level. So let's talk about this so we can help each other realize that we're not alone. And wouldn't you believe that most of the comments came from either working mom or stay-at-home mom, because I guess you're kind of either or, but they all had the same guilty feelings of not feeling like they were spending enough time with their kids or enough intentional time with their kids. And now if you're not a stay-at-home mom, you might be questioning that, like, okay, wait, if you're home with them all day, isn't that what you're doing? And I can tell you it's not, because for us stay-at-home moms, when we're home all day, we have other things we have to be getting done. You know, you're taking care when your kids are home all day, there's extra mess, right? So, and extra meals at home, which we all know is extra mess. So you're constantly cleaning and doing laundry and cooking. I feel like I literally live in the kitchen, and feeding people and changing diapers if your kids are still little, or if your kids are in school, you're rushing back and forth to the school and loading everybody up. And we all know that the 5-point harness in the car seat is a pain in the butt, especially when you have multiple kids in them. So, you know, you're running errands, you're going to appointments. So no, there's not a lot of time. It feels like a lot of days to just sit down and be present with your kids. And I, as a stay-at-home mom, have always felt that way. Most nights I go to bed feeling like, man, why didn't I spend more time? Why did I tell Lola no, I couldn't play because I had to get dinner done? Or, you know, once I sit down to start playing, somebody needs to be changed or somebody needs a nap. You know, it's all these things. So I said that in a very long response, but even us stay-at-home moms have trouble being intentional and making time to just sit and be present with our kids because there's always something to do. And then on the other hand, I always hear from my fellow moms who are working moms that they also don't feel like they get any time because, you know, their kids are at school or with the babysitter, at daycare, with their grandparents, and then they get a little bit of time with them, but then it's time for, you know, bedtime routine and baths and all of that. So we all have the common issue of feeling guilty, like we're not spending enough quality, intentional time with our kids. Now, I've also been on the side where I worked part-time, so I feel like I've been kind of in between before because I see a lot of the working moms who feel guilty if they want to take time for themselves or if they want to take time with their spouse. It makes them feel like, oh no, I'm already gone from my kids during the week. I have to spend all this time with them. And even though I didn't work full-time, I did work part-time, and I do, even at that point, because I was used to being a stay-at-home mom, I did understand that feeling of, wait, should I really leave them again to go to the gym now? So I guess my whole point in this is, moms, I hear you. I see you. You're not alone. We are all in this together. No matter what our situation, it really feels like we all kind of have the same complaint. And kind of what I think is beautiful about the responses I got in my mom's group was that we aren't alone, and the grass isn't greener on the stay-at-home mom side or on the working mom side. So if no matter what, it's challenging, and if no matter what, we're going to feel this guilt, why don't we, one, support each other, but two, try to find ways to combat the guilt while we're in the season we're in? So that's something a little bit later I want to go over. I've kind of come up with a list of 5 or 6 things that I feel like if I'm intentional about doing and if you're intentional about doing, we can get better about beating the mom guilt cycle. Aside from working and staying home, I think another thing a lot of us struggle with when it comes to the guilt is beating ourselves up about all the things that you see talked about on social media. It's no secret that literally anything that gets posted on social media, it could be the most innocent, sweet thing in the world. There's going to be these horribly unhappy people that are going to comment cruel things. It just is. I sometimes get lost in comments on social media and then I get really mad at myself because it makes me angry at how mean some people can be, especially a mom to another mom. So you know where I'm going with this, the mom shaming on the internet, the breastfeeding versus formula versus pumping arguments, the how you had your baby arguments and who's better if it's natural or at home or in the hospital or with an epidural or C-section, how you diaper your kids, who's doing the Pinteresty mom stuff and who's barely, you know, getting out the door in time with their coffee and their robe on, or who's teaching their kids the most, or the screen time argument, or how you're feeding your kid. I mean, even without social media, I think you would constantly question ourselves on if we're doing the right thing. But then you have this whole bear of social media staring at you and breathing down your neck. And I can't tell you how many times I've started to do something or I've made a decision and then I've had like a little voice in my head, which I think is an internet troll that somehow got in there telling me, oh, well, you really shouldn't do that. Like, this mom would do this better. Or if you were a good mom, you wouldn't let them watch so much Disney Plus. That has come at a really good time, by the way. Or, you know what I mean? There's so many different things out there that you can compare yourself to and that you can further question if you're doing a good job or if you're doing enough as the other parent. This is something I haven't personally experienced, but so many close to me have. Single moms have told me that they question constantly why they aren't with the child's father and if they made the right decision, or they are upset because, you know, they have to work a bunch because they're the only one holding down the fort. Or the moms of us out there, I once felt single mom-ish because my husband worked so much that it was all on me. And I know there's other moms listening right now. They're like, yeah, I'm not technically a single mom, but I literally parent alone and it's hard. And so you feel the guilt of the constant pressure of being enough as the only parent and providing and teaching them and raising up decent, healthy, smart human beings. I mean, all the things that we want for our children, right? It's hard. Nobody's saying this isn't hard, but gosh, mamas, we've got to stop beating ourselves up so badly because you know what? This is all of our first time. Even though I have three kids, I'm still a first-time mom. This is my first time with a four-year-old. This is my first time with a middle child two-year-old. You know what I mean? Like, we have got to stop beating ourselves up so much because we are just learning. As we all know, nobody handed us a manual in the hospital. Nobody trained me up. You know, we went to, some of us go to school for years for whatever career we're going to do to learn and be trained on how to do it. But parenting, what is there for parenting? You learn from how you were parented, which isn't always the best learning mechanism for some of us. I mean, I love my parents. They were great parents. I'm just saying there's so many of us who didn't get the opportunity to grow up in a loving two-parent household. And you get the opportunity to maybe go to some parenting classes before having a baby. But what do those teach you besides some very basic things that honestly, you can't learn until you're in it. So that's something I'm trying to tell myself is, you know, have a little, give yourself some grace. This is your first time and it's not easy. So Chris is probably going to listen to this and laugh because he always jokes that I don't know how to end a point because, well, I talk a lot and I don't get to talk to many adults. So I'm on the mic. I'm free right now. Nobody's telling me to cut it off. So just bear with me if you're listening. I promise I'm going to get to the ways of getting rid of mom guilt. And actually, let's just jump into that. So I have five ways that I think would help all of us to really realize and hopefully, if not get rid of, really diminish and squash the mom guilt. The first one is just acknowledging it in some way. A way that I think would really help me and has helped me in the past to acknowledge it is by journaling. And I've talked about this before. I really think journaling is such a good form of therapy because you know how sometimes people say like, oh, my mind's so full, I can't fit another thing in it. That's a real thing. your mind really does have a capacity where things are going to start falling out. And as we moms know, our mind is constantly going with, oh, did I make that appointment? What am I going to make for dinner? Did I do this? Oh, I need to work out. Oh, my husband. Oh, this, the kids. I mean, constantly, this to-do list is literally never ending. So by journaling, first of all, you can acknowledge where and what is causing the guilt, and you can get it out of your head, because just keeping it in there and stewing on it is not good for you. It's not good for me. You know, get it out on paper, write it in a journal, write how it made you feel. And then I think what's cool is I go back in my journal and read sometimes. I have this app and I'm no way affiliated with it. Just telling you what I use. It's called the Penzu app, and it's P-E-N-Z-U. And what's cool about it is ever so often it'll send me an email and say, hey, 3 months ago you wrote this, or 1 year ago you wrote this. And I love going back and seeing how I've changed since that last time, because when you're in the chaos, it's easy to be overwhelmed by it and think you'll never forget, you know, how you felt this day or that day. But really, as time goes on, sometimes you're able to diminish how you felt. And I think it's really good to be able to look back and be like, wow, I was really having a hard time that day. And maybe a similar scenario came up today and I handled it a lot better. So I don't know. I think it's helpful to see yourself grow and just really be aware of where you were feeling those emotions of guilt. Number two, find your triggers. And this kind of goes along with that, because when you're journaling, you're going to start to maybe realize a pattern. Maybe it's social media that triggers the mom guilt. Like I was saying, some mom groups are just ruthless and kind of hateful. And I don't know where that comes from. I really think that some people really just feel like they've got to put others down to try to make themselves feel better, which is kind of that bully mentality. But get out of those groups. If you know that's a trigger for you, if you know that every time you see a comment in that group, there's going to be somebody who says something that makes you question your parenting or hurts you, get out of it. Or unfollow the people that are constantly posting things that are, you know, harmful to how you feel as a parent. As long as they're not, I should take that back. There's certain things that are okay in my mind. If somebody's posting something that is like a PSA for safety, for instance, especially this time of year, you always see the no coats in the car seats one. That is not mom shaming. That is somebody informing other parents that it's come out that it is very dangerous to wear a bubbly coat under the car seat in the chest clip. And you can go watch videos on why it's so dangerous. That is not mom shaming. That is not an opinion. That is science, and it should be shared for safety of our children. And even though that can sometimes be uncomfortable because nobody ever wants to feel like they're doing something wrong, but at the end of the day, if it's the best for your kid, like, let's put our pride aside. Another one with the car seat is like when people share the one where the chest clip is supposed to be, at the chest, the shoulder is supposed to be tight. There, you know, you can go to a lot of fire departments and have your car seat checked. Those are things that we need to be open to hearing and not guilting ourselves if we don't know, because if you don't know, you don't know. So those are the kind of things, yes, those should be shared. You should acknowledge those and let those into your feed or whatever. But I'm talking the people shaming you if you had a C-section and posting like negative things like that. I've literally seen terribly hurtful posts saying, oh, you're not a real woman, or if you had a C-section or something. And I had 3 C-sections, and I can assure you I'm a real woman and a real mom. And that was the best way for my children to be brought into this world. But somebody shaming that, I don't want to follow them. I don't need to let that enter my mind, because I can beat myself up without somebody doing that. You know what I mean? So find your triggers. Maybe it's not social media. Maybe it's a relative or a friend who constantly makes you feel like you're not doing a good job as a parent. And again, I'm not talking about things that are safety. I'm talking about things that are opinion when it comes to, you know, like I said, breastfeeding versus formula, all that kind of stuff, or somebody that just is constantly putting you down or not speaking to you in a constructive manner and making you empowered as a mom. I want to say cut those people out, but I do understand that sometimes it's a relative and that's not exactly easy to do. But there are things you can do, like maybe have a conversation with them if you feel like they're somebody who will listen, or just keeping your distance and realizing you don't have to take that. Those are a couple things that may trigger the mom guilt And then another one is just circumstances. I know for me, when I don't get up before my girls and have time for myself, I'm much more susceptible to being irritable and impatient with them in the mornings, because mornings with three little ones are really hard. If I let them wake me up before I can have my coffee, before I have my time with Jesus, before I have a second to just breathe, I'm going to be more irritable. So if I were sitting down and writing down my triggers, that's something I would write down, is not waking up before them and having me time triggers my irritability. Because I don't know about you, but without coffee in me, having two people crying and one person demanding breakfast at 5 a.m. can be very, irritating? It's tough. So, you know, maybe you yelled at your child and then you felt the guilt because you're like, oh, you know, she's just tired. She hasn't had a nap. And when I don't have naps and we've been going all day, I didn't realize, you know, I went from here to the store to somebody's house and I've expected her to behave all day. I should have given her some grace. Those are times that instead of putting yourself down, write down what triggered it. You know, maybe you were stressed too and you tried to do too much in one day, so your child's behavior was off. But I mean, also your behavior was off. I don't know if you've ever seen the quote, and I'm probably going to mess it up, but it has something to do with saying, you know, we always expect kids to just behave and be at this standard that we don't even always hold ourselves to. I know when I'm hungry or when I haven't gotten enough sleep or whenever I've been drug around places I don't want to go all day, I get a little cranky too. So I need to remind myself that my two-year-old needs the kind of grace I would expect my husband to give when I snap at him whenever we haven't had dinner yet. So that's number two, find your triggers, whether it's social media, it's a certain circumstance around your house that always causes you to snap or act how you may not want to act with your children, or a toxic person in your life. Find those triggers and see how you can handle them. And you can write those in your journal too. So these kind of all go hand in hand. Number three is connect. This might seem like an obvious one, but it seems like so much of what we complain about when it comes to mom guilt is not being intentional with the time with our kids. So I know something I would like to do, and I'm saying would like to because I'm by no means reading this list because I've got it all figured out. This is stuff I'm going to try, and I hope you'll try with me, but scheduling time. So I have a one-year-old, a two-year-old, and a four-year-old. If you've listened to this podcast anytime at all, you know that already, but if this is your first time, I've got three little girls, and it is very challenging to make time to spend with each of them because there's three of them. And so I know that that's something I feel guilt about every single day. I always beat myself up because it's got to be hard for my four-year-old to have two baby sisters at such a young age. And same thing, each of them, they have to share so much of mommy that I often feel bad when I go to bed because I didn't give them enough playtime. Or, you know, Lola, my four-year-old, will always ask to do something with just mommy or just mommy and daddy like it used to be, which she wasn't even two when her first sister was born. So I don't know how much she remembers of it being just the three of us. But sometimes it really makes me feel guilty because I can't always give that time to her. And then the three of them, you know, it's challenging for me to take all three of them somewhere without another adult's help because, well, they're little and I don't know, maybe I need like one of those dog walking leashes where I can put each of them on one so I can't lose them. Kind of kidding, kind of not. But then comes the days where I realize for days we've not left the house and I'm sure they're going stir crazy because I go stir crazy. But then I beat myself up because I'm like, well, it's just too hard to take them places. And then I do take them places sometimes, but it's a big challenge. So I would like to be more intentional about connecting with them by scheduling, you know, okay, I know if we start our day doing something together, that's going to erase my mom guilt of saying, oh, I just put them off all day because I'm just going to start the day with what's important, spending time with them. And I know that they should feel a little happier and not act out as much for negative attention if I give them attention right off the bat. Now, it sounds too good to be true. I don't know if that'll really work. I'm going to try it and let you know. But it seems like, you know, kids act out to get attention in a negative way when they're not getting it in a positive way. And I've seen that firsthand, especially on the weeks that Chris and I are really busy. We, of course, notice an uptick in the girls' behavior because they're craving that attention from us. So spending the first part of the day with them, I think, would help. Scheduling regular family dates or regular individual dates with the kids, I know would help. And it's easier said than done because of babysitters and schedules and all that. But those are a few ways that I'm personally going to try to be more intentional about connecting with my kids and also putting our phones down. It's so easy to get lost in scrolling Pinterest or, you know, looking at pictures of your friends or whatever, posting stuff. Those things are so easy to get lost in, and the kids notice it. I mean, I don't like when somebody has their phone in their face when I'm trying to talk to them. So I'm sure our kids don't either. So that's a couple ways to connect with your kids and hopefully get rid of that guilty feeling at night of we're not spending enough time with them. So acknowledge it, journal it, write it down, find your triggers and figure out how you can fix them. Connect with your kids, be intentional about it. And then number four, fill your cup. I talk about this so much. Chris talks about this so much. Take care of yourself. I don't care if you're a working mom or a stay-at-home mom or a single mom or a married mom or an adoptive mom or an in-between part-time. I don't care. It doesn't matter. We have got to take care of ourselves. And I don't mean this in a foo-foo, go to the spa every day, self-care kind of way. But even if you're busy outside of the home, even if your guilt is because you're not spending enough with your time with your child, you still have an obligation and a duty and a right to take care of yourself. So whether that means getting a time with your spouse or taking time to have time with your friends or getting in the gym and taking care of your body, all of those things are okay. And we should not let anybody, especially ourselves, beat us up for taking time to make sure that we are full so we can pour out into our family. It's so important. Please do it. Fill up your cup, schedule time every day. Doesn't have to be a lot of time, but schedule time every day to do something to take care of yourself. Like I said, something for me is getting up before the kids, having coffee, doing a devotional, listening to music, reading a book. Those things really help me start out my day well. And then, as a lot of you know, I do dance fitness at a place called Grind-A-Fit, and that helps me too. Like sometimes I feel bad if I'm gone all day. I do feel bad to go work out at night whenever the kids are home, but I know and they know that if I'm healthy, I'm going to be able to take care of them better and I'm going to be happier and my mind is going to have a nice reset because especially being home with them all day, oh boy, you know, sometimes you just need that break and you need time with adults. Okay. And then the final one, let it go and give yourself some grace. Like I said, this is our first time parenting. No matter how long you've been doing it, it's still your first time walking through this. Give yourself some grace. Learn from the mistakes that we make because we're going to make them and use that to propel us to do better. And honestly, like I said earlier, focusing on the negative and constantly shaming ourselves and beating ourselves up with this guilt, that's only going to make us further internalize it and really not let us know that we're a good mom. So a way to combat that is by doing affirmations. And that's just basically writing out all the positive things you are and all the positive qualities you offer your children as a mother and repeating them. I can't tell you how many days I've had to start out my day or in the middle of a huge tantrum that the kids were throwing, had to pause and be like, I am a good mom. I am a patient mom. I am a loving mom. And just keep telling yourself that. Because as corny or as foo-foo or whatever as it sounds, you really do become what you tell yourself you are and what you really think and stew on. So if you're constantly telling yourself you're a bad mom and that you're not doing enough, you're not ever going to feel all of a sudden like you are a great mom and you're doing enough. Do you know what I mean? So try to give yourself some grace and really focus on all of the areas that you're doing well. Somebody once told me, you know, if your kids are happy, they're the product of your work, right? So if your kids are generally happy, loving little people, isn't that a good sign that you're probably doing a pretty darn good job? I think so. So I think that's the whole moral of this entire story is that if you suffer from mom guilt and this feeling of always wondering if you're doing enough, maybe take that as a sign as you just really are a good mom who cares. So take the mom guilt, let's get rid of it, but let's let us realize where it's coming from. I think it's just coming from our desire to be the best parent we can be. So remember that. And just kind of as a little bonus, something I want you to know is learn that you can be both. And this is something that maybe seems really obvious, but it was very liberating for me when somebody told me that you can be an overwhelmed mom in this season, but also a mom that's totally in love with this season. It doesn't have to be either or. You can be a strong mom, but also a mom who just needs a hug sometimes. You can love being with your kids and also want to pack your bags and run away the next minute. You can be both, because this is a tough but beautiful season of life, and you're allowed to feel all of these feelings. You're not alone, and you're not crazy, and it's gonna be okay. God gave those babies to you, mama. He did not give them to anybody else. You are enough for this job. Stay strong. We got this. We'll get by one day at a time. Let's get rid of the mom guilt. So one more recap for you. Number one, acknowledge it, write it down, journal it. Number two, find your triggers and do something about them. Number three, be intentional about connecting. Number four, fill up your cup. And number five, give yourself some grace and let it go. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope that you're able to give yourself some grace, and you're going to join me in this journey to getting rid of the mom guilt and taking the next step in this crazy, chaotic, beautiful season together. And if you did, I ask that you'll share it with somebody, share it with another mom. If you're in a mom's group, share it with them. Hopefully they don't care to hear me ramble too much. And go subscribe to the show so you don't miss next week's episode, which surely I will have my co-host Chris back. Thanks so much, guys.